Renee Carden is a barrister and youth advocate for Ngāti Tamatera. She has connections to Ngāpoe and Ngāti Manipoto and works with the Civic Chambers barristers here in Auckland. Obviously concerns over legal aid, with the low threshold meaning many people aren't eligible and are therefore representing themselves in court. Thank you for joining us, Renee. Ko Dale tēnei. Haere mai.
Morena,
Renee. You might know Mark. We were just touching on people representing themselves in family court, but let's talk a little more about legal aid. It has been a reality for many of our people facing the court system, just don't have the pūtia to hire private law firms to represent, so you take what is available. But there have been ongoing issues about access to legal aid and indeed the quality and efficacy of those working in that sector. Just as a starter, can you tell us when and who, when are you and who is eligible for criminal legal aid, Renee?
Yes, sure. So we have a threshold that if you face a penalty of maximum imprisonment, 6 months, as a duty solicitor, you must complete legal aid for the client so that they can access legal aid. But the problem the clients, the defendants are facing is that if you hold on, if you have a full-time job, essentially if you're earning anywhere from $900 a week, they're likely to reject your application. Now, we all know, we live here in Tamaki, and even if we don't live in Tamaki, we know that once rent goes out and cost of living and petrol costs and insurances and money to support children, we know that you're left with very minimal funds at the end of the day. So it's quite a harsh stance to take. And what legal aid requires, if the client wants to challenge the decision, then they have to come back to court, fill out more forms, the matter gets adjourned off. So we're in this system, if you like, where there is adjournment on top of adjournment, and their case goes on, and they're only trying to access a lawyer, so it can be pretty tough, Dale.
There's an old street saying, if you pay peanuts, you get monkeys, and so I'm just wondering, many people, many Māori who face the court system haven't got access to the money that is needed to get, you know, the bright sparks in to represent you, so it's almost take what you can get. What would you say about the need to compromise here, and are Māori, are we getting involved in this legal aid space? Because sadly, you know, the best and brightest lawyers won't be on the legal aid team that you have access to. But I'm wondering if there's some intervention, some way we could help each other, bearing in mind the numbers of Māori going through the court system, Renee, are substantial. But I don't hear of any tribal involvement, tribal money, perhaps even bolstering the legal aid framework so that we can get solid and experienced representation from that sector.
Tēnā nō, Apukwe. I mean, they're very, very good points you raise. And in an ideal world, we would love for our iwi and our hapū to come on board. We know that we face sort of challenges in those areas. But to answer two of your very important questions, the first thing is that we know that there are the stats show that there are 50 to 52% of Māori in prison. We know this adds stats. We know that our as Māori, 17.4% of us identify as Māori. So the stats are clear in terms of our people being in prison, that it's important for our people to have representation. Now, lawyers are readily rejecting criminal aid legal work because the pūtia from private clients is far more attractive. And to be honest, why wouldn't you in some spaces where the workers, you're overloaded with cases? So if we've got this emphasis nowadays, which we do, of looking after your whole order, looking after your mental health, why wouldn't you select the work that's going to enhance your work-life balance? You know, so it is absolutely a tough one. What I quite like is we're getting a lot of graduates and rangatahi coming through, I mean, young lawyers coming through. They're bringing youth and enthusiasm, which is great because we need that, because it's quite taimaha. The role is heavy. So that when we have young lawyers come through, of course, we need the experience of our senior bar to guide us. Now, we have a very strong hunga roa Māori which we meet every year. In fact, we're meeting in Hamilton this year in about 3 weeks, where we have a three-day conference, and we split off. This year, family is going to family law, criminal lawyers are going to the criminal law, and the treaty lawyers are going to the treaty lawyers. So we wānanga in those spaces. So it's the kōrero that you raise are good kōrero to wānanga about that.
Tēnākwe. So when we look at legal aid as a separate issue, have we tweaked it, or is it evolving to better reflect what is required? There's been a criticism, and I think justified, across decades of the way that the court system in our country doesn't reflect the cultural values that we should prioritise as a community. So let's assume that there is a desire for overhaul across the judicial system, which includes each of the courts. Now, when we come to legal aid, has that been moving at the pace that you believe it deserves? It seems to me that legal aid workers have been underpaid, but very little traction there to effect real change. What would you like to see happen so that our people are better represented when they do have to go to court?
Oh, that's an excellent question. Look, the thing is that we recently, us duty lawyers and legal aid lawyers, got a minimal pay rise. The duty lawyer system has been in place for 25 years or around that figure. That was the first pay rise in 25 years. But putting aside lawyer pay rates and what we're in, our entitlements, the thing is that it does move at a slow pace. We have a change of government, as we know, every so often. People don't want to focus on the voters aren't interested in funding legal aid. Who wants to fund, in inverted commas, a criminal? So, you know, it gets pushed to the side really quickly, over and above other things, other important, in inverted commas, matters of the day. It's really sad, actually. I'd just like to pick up on a point of your last speaker. He was talking about, you know, the infiltration of more Māori judges. It is great, but the reality is that we still hold the highest statistics of offenders in the system. So we've got to target that, as we know.
It's certainly a field, and like a lot of fields in society, that need to be acknowledged that there could well be a better way. So many people end up in court at a time when they can't access pūtea, and they're forced to take the support of legal aid, and I would suggest most appreciate it very much, the willingness of those to work for, as you say, you know, relatively modest income. So some are stuck. Do lawyers take afterpay or lay-by or something of that nature? Because getting legal representation can be expensive. Is the legal profession showing some financial flexibility here?
Well, as I said, the rates have gone up, and the Law Society are very aware of it. And with the lawyers exiting both the family law space and the criminal legal aid space, we know that they know that they've got a problem on their hands. So most lawyers will, in the criminal legal aid space, will take criminal legal aid work because that is where the bulk of work is. Now, the good thing that I would like to, there's two things I want to raise. I want to dispel this myth because it's everywhere, and it's been like this from before I was a practitioner right up until now, and it's going to take years to dispel. You'll often meet someone who will say, oh, I don't want a legal aid lawyer. I want a KC, or I want a private lawyer. And it's always disappointing that attitude is around, and it's come from somewhere, and it seems to be deeply ingrained, and it's probably an international attitude, because I can say with my hand on my heart that whether you have taken on a client privately who's paying you privately, or whether you have taken on a legal aid brief, the mahi is the same. The standard of excellence has to be the same, because when you arrive in court, and if you haven't filed your submissions, and if you're not ready for trial, if you're not prepared for pre-trial, the judge, quite rightly, will rake you over the coals. And if the judge is that upset with your standard, because if it happens time and time again, you can expect a complaint to go off to the Law Society from the judge. So what I want to make clear is that a judge doesn't care whether it's, you know, a client paying you $1,000 per hour or legal aid on minuscule rates. We are still expected to perform to the same standard. And one thing about legal aid is that you are audited. You are audited as a practitioner, you will receive an email every few years saying, please send us these 5 files within the next 10 days because you are being subjected to an audit. And they will go through your files with a fine-tooth comb, and they will come back to you about the do's and don'ts of your file. So I just wanted to make that clear because, you know, we get quite a lot of flack as legal aid lawyers with the attitude of people that I've just described, describing, oh, I don't want a legal aid lawyer. But really, we are expected to perform at the same level.
It's been an interesting kōrero, and I appreciate you spending some time with our kaiwhakarongo this morning, Renee. All the best with the mahi, and I look forward to another conversation soon. Nei rā, tamiki kia koe, te tuhine, kia ora rō atu.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. You're 603.